A question for you, if you will. What's in a name? When you hear names like Rockefeller, Kennedy, Onassis, immediately something comes to your mind. The book of Proverbs says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And friend of mine, the greatest name that you can have, the maybe greatest name that can belong to you, is the name of Christian. The disciples of the Lord Jesus were first called Christians at Antioch. Peter tells us in his first epistle, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. It's an honor to be called by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It implies that we are followers of Him. We are His disciples, and men and women should be able to see Christ in us. Being a Christian implies being Christ-like, having the nature of Christ, which can only come as a guilty sinner, as one outside of Christ turns and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Savior. When you do that, He imparts to you His gift of eternal life. And the book of Colossians says then, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the name of your church, not in the name of some organization, but simply in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we read in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Just as a new bridegroom joyfully and willingly shares his name with his new bride, our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, with sheer delight shares his name with us. We become known as his very own, and he authorizes us to be known as Christians. We take his name, the family name, and I find that it's sufficient to call myself by the names that we find for Christians in the Word of God. And praise God, it's not necessary for me or for you to add any names to separate us from other Christians, simply to be known as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Two, a new bride now has resources that were not hers previously. Not only is the name hers, her mail comes to her as Mrs. So-and-so. Her name is on the checkbook. She shares the home of the bridegroom, and she finds new satisfaction in this new identity, Mrs. whoever she might be. In view of these considerations, friend of mine, if you know the Lord Jesus, if you have by faith experienced redemption through his own precious blood, if you have been brought into a right relationship with him, having every sin forgiven, let's bear his name with honor, with dignity, and with respect. We read in Luke's gospel, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory. Can you say in the words of this little song, I'm glad I'm a Christian, I'm trusting the Lord, I'm reading the Bible, believing each word, the past is forgotten, from sin I am set free, a mansion in heaven is awaiting for me. Yes, praise God, I'm glad I'm a Christian. The third place we find this word Christian used is in Acts 26, verse 28. King Agrippa was speaking to Paul, and he says, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul was having this hearing before Festus the governor and Agrippa the king. He was there as a result of his testimony for Christ. He had been identified with Christ. He had accepted the Lord Jesus and gone out preaching the word. The mob had threatened his life, and he was brought in there and flogged, beaten. Paul knew what it was to suffer as a Christian. This man said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friend of mine, I hope today you're not almost persuaded, but you're altogether persuaded. Would to God that every listener to this broadcast knew what it was to have the authority of the Bible to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Now I belong to Jesus. I've trusted him, and he gave me eternal life. Friend, if you don't know that, trust him. He'll bless you for it today. Amen. Amen.